Hi, I'm Liz Larson.
And I'm Bill McKenna. We're the hosts of the New Life Perspectives radio show.
We're also the creators of the Cogno Movement System, where we help you rewire your nervous system so you can rewire your reality.
Join us each week for great conversations, amazing guests, and cutting-edge information on health, consciousness, and the keys to transformation. Welcome to another episode here on UK Health Radio, New Life Perspectives show. And today is a really important topic. And there's some things you're going to learn on this episode that are just going to blow your mind. And the subject today is around fear. That's right, fear. I mean, what could be so mind-blowing about the subject of fear? Well, the very first thing is that this is something that you're not aware of that is actually controlling your entire life. It's been said that there's really only two emotions. There's love and there's fear. And you either have a derivative going on of one or the other at any point in time in your life. And these fear emotions are creating the boundary by which you'll operate. In aviation, we call it the envelope. The performance envelope. You know, you can go so fast, you can go so slow inside this envelope and not either have the aircraft break up or stall, and then you have that problem. But fear obviously can be resourceful. It's every level of understanding or emotion has some sort of benefit to it. And fear is no different. There are certain benefits like, you know, hey, if you see a truck coming, you stepped out off the sidewalk, you know, into the crosswalk, and you see a truck coming and it doesn't look like they're going to stop. You know, that panic of fear that gives you an adrenaline rush that helps you to jump back on the sidewalk so you don't die. This is, you know, obviously very resourceful use of your fear. Now, fear, we always treat it like a prophet. That, oh my gosh, you know, something bad's going to happen. And I just know it. I feel it. But in your lifetime, how often has it actually been correct? Most of us spend our days in some sort of derivative of fear. What somebody will say, if there's enough money for the bills, what's going to happen with my health? Am I going to get better? You name it. It is some derivative of fear. And as if we don't have enough things to be afraid of that we make up in our own mind, the media is doing everything they can from all directions to create fear. If you watch the news on a daily basis, the format is typically be very afraid. You know, there's a major threat of some kind. There's a threat to your finances, a threat to your health, a threat to your safety. You name it. There's a threat in some way, and your freedom. And then at the very end, they'll give you some little to nibble on, like, you know, well, you know, looks like the fire department went out today and rescued a cat that was stuck in a tree, and the little kitty cat is okay. Look, everything's going to be okay. It's so there's a lot of pressure that they build up through their segment, and then they that's the typical format that you have there. And again, it could be anything. Could be the weather's coming, or big picture stuff like global warming, or you name it. They will find anything to exaggerate the fear around. I don't know if you have ever experienced this, but I've now lived long enough to actually be in situations where the news has come out and they're filming, for example, flooding, and I'm physically there, and I can see that, yeah, there is some flooding and it's a few feet, but when watching it on the TV later, it was made to look very exaggerated, like, oh my gosh, this is a catastrophe and we're never getting over it. And I'm not saying that there's not things that are really like that are happening, because they are, and they're all over the globe. But I'm just talking about the media and the pushing the fear agenda. So this fear agenda that the media pushes, what it does is it makes us very controllable. If you can put somebody in fear for long enough and consistently enough, then when you offer a solution, what happens is the person will easily accept that, and they're easily manipulated. Now, all of us had this happen during, the period of time back around 2019. There was a very consistent push of fear, and if you can recall, because of that real consistent push of fear, when solutions offered, it's like, just give me the solution, just anything to get out of this fear state. So this is a proven formula. It was actually figured out initially by the KGB. They figured how to do it. Just put a person in fear for long enough, and then you give them just a little anything, the promise of being able to get out of it, and they'll take any solution. They'll hand over their freedoms, their money, their bodies, whatever, to be used for the purpose of getting them out of this state that they've been put into. So, when we are in that state of fear, what happens is our physical brain shuts down. We don't have access to all the potential perspectives and potential fixes. The information is actually over here in the amygdala, and this part becomes very, very active. And this is that part of the brain that's flight, fight, freeze, fawn. That you find that these few responses that are possible are accessed in this part of the brain. Now, if we didn't have fear, that part of the brain wouldn't be active, and there's all of these other parts of the brain that come online, become more active, and there's so many more potentials. This is a really great thing. To not be in fear, because there's typically a lot of opportunity once we alleviate our fear. You can see more possibilities. In I think in it's either in Japan or in China. I think it's Japan, but the symbol for chaos and opportunity are the exact same symbol. This has been known across the globe for millennia that not being in fear is actually a good thing. Interestingly enough, as it turns out, in the Bible, it is mentioned more than any other statement. This is not by chance, right? In spiritual texts, don't fear, shall not fear, don't fear, all of those things. Because what happens is that we have so many problems that begin to happen as we fear. And one of those turns into anger. And as they say in the Star Wars movies, and then anger turns into hate, and hate is the dark side. So we can do really atrocious things when we are in fear. A lot of people die because they end up expressing their fear towards another, or making some bad decisions. So the thing is about this is that for most of us, we don't really have a good way out. What we do is we simply try to suppress our fear or keep ourselves out of situations that we might be afraid. This is what Liz Larson she terms the electric fence of our lives. This electric fence of our lives is the limiter, where we'll go and where we'll not go. And that means in every aspect of life, whether it's physically go there or emotionally go there. I'm not safe, I won't go there. And when this is completely released or processed, what we find is that there are so many other possibilities. When I come back from this break here that we're going to take in a second, our first break, we're going to talk about the real life financial impacts of a person that was in fear and what really happened. We have our original story of how Cogna Movement was created and the person that was in fear and what ended up happening to him over a decade. We'll be right back after this break.
The station that makes you feel good.
What if your healing journey could feel empowering, hopeful, even transformative? Welcome to the Alkaline Collective Mastermind, a community for anyone facing cancer, staying cancer-free, or committed to prevention. No matter your stage, whether you've chosen conventional care, an integrative path, or a fully holistic approach, here, you're not alone. Here, your healing journey becomes a journey of empowerment. We explore the science of oxygenation, metabolism, and alkalinity, while strengthening your emotional, spiritual, and physical well-being. This is a mastermind with heart, accountability, connection, wisdom, and real support. Because your journey isn't just about surviving, it's about thriving. Join us by clicking on the Alkaline Collective Mastermind banner on the UK Health Radio homepage or directly at alkaline-collective.com, where self-belief grows, healing deepens, and transformation begins.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Okay, and we are back. So, fear and the very start of Cogno Movement. There was a session that was done with a friend of mine, and this friend had asked for a ride to the airport, and I had agreed to do it, but I said, you know, I have this kind of crazy idea that I'd like to try on, but I need you to, do this session with me just to, and as an experiment. And anyway, we ended up doing the very first Cogno Movement session ever, which I asked him just to stay emotionally in the absolute thing that was bothering him, the worst thing in his life. And I didn't, I said, I don't need to know what it is, but we're going to do this physical exercise where we throw the ball to each other, and I'm going to have you say the color you see. And we did this exercise, and what ended up happening was that we only had a few minutes, and before I had to take him to the airport. And I said, just focus on this issue that you have, whatever that is, and do this exercise. And we did. And it was a couple of minutes later, he said that his belly button got hot. And he was sweating profusely, and I was just dry as a whistle when I was doing this. And I was like, it was kind of comical to see him sweat so much. And I had never even heard of anyone in my lifetime having a hot belly button. Does that sound strange? That's weird as can be. But that's what happened. So anyway, a few minutes later, he started to say, I'm gonna have a heart attack. I'm gonna have a heart attack. My heart. And I was like, oh, you know, and I just knew he wasn't having a heart attack. So we just kept going. I just said, keep going. He's like, ah. And then a couple minutes later, he was choking. And he could says, I can't breathe. I can't breathe. And I was like, how's your heart? And he was like, my heart is fine. And then it moved again up to the middle of his head. My head, middle of my forehead, it hurts. And I said, how's your heart? Can you breathe? Okay, yes, it's fine. Ah. And then whoosh, it left out the top of his head. And I was like, we took the drive, to the airport after that. And I was like, he was like kind of in a bit of a daze. He was like, I don't even know what to say. It was the biggest problem in my life, and I can't feel it anymore. I just can't connect with it. I didn't even know what to say. And I was like, I was like, I didn't know. Anyway, dropped him off at the airport. And it was months later, it was something like 6 months later, him and his wife came over to the house. And I still remember we were in the front yard, and him and his wife were telling us about, oh, that they had bought three houses in Utah, and they put this minimal amount down, and they were positive cash flow on day one. They were all three rented, and they were cash flowing positive enough to pay down the mortgage that they had taken out. And in California, this is not possible. You're not going to put down 10% or 5% and get a cash flowing property, positive cash flow day one. It's just that is some sort of that's not possible here. So anyway, it was kind of amazing. And he said, oh yeah, and I also took part of this other part of my property. He had this a garage that he turned into an apartment, and that apartment was now making money, and they were using the money to pay down the mortgage on their house here in San Diego. And then they had also started a bee business, and that was bringing in money, and they were paying down all their properties. And there was all of this cash, all this talk of, money. And what ends up happening is I was like, God, the wife says, yeah, things have been so good. And this all happened after you had done that session with him. And I was like, huh, hey, by the way, what was that session about? Because I didn't know. And that session, it turns out that session was around his fear of retirement. He didn't have enough money to retire, and he was worried about retiring. Matter of fact, he said that his plan was to buy a trailer and move out to the middle of the desert. They call it homestead. Here in California, you can get a piece of land for free if you just do a little development on it, but it's out in the desert. It's some real out there place that they encourage people to move. If they will just do improvements on the land and live there and that sort of thing. It's called homesteading. And anyway, so this was his retirement plan. Oh my gosh, it did not sound good to be isolated out in the middle of the desert. But the beautiful thing is that after the session, all of his fears went away. And he couldn't feel them anymore. And with it, his perception opened up. It was kind of like when we started this episode, we were talking about perception. Well, he all of a sudden was open to the perception of I could buy these properties in a different state and they would cash flow. And I could use that to pay off the mortgage. Well, his wife mentioned, hey, you know what? Actually, I've been telling him about this part of Utah we could do this in for a long time, but he could never hear me. And now all of a sudden he could. So his not only perception opened up, but on top of his perception, he had the energy to actually take action. That fear was gone, and that electric fence of his life fell down. So here he is. Now, fast forward, it's a decade later. A decade later, and I still have the privilege of talking to him on a regular basis. And he told me that I have more money than I can spend every month. He was just found himself over in, I think it was Turkey. Yes, it was Turkey and Greece in that area. And he was on some sort of luxury cruise ship. He's been fully retired for a long time now, and he's there, and he's got this enormous suite on this cruise ship, this small cruise ship, and he'd been out there for a long time. Anyway, it was pretty cool. The amazing thing here is that it was simply a feeling that was trapped in the body. This is something that few of us understand. We think that our fear is rational. And it's the truth, but it's not. It's simply something that is stuck in our nervous system. Our nervous system gives a certain feeling, and then we'll produce certain chemicals in our body as well. When we have this particular feeling. And when this feeling is gone, you no longer keep producing those chemicals, which very much positively impact your entire system. So the question is, where did this feeling come from in the first place? Fear is an involuntary reaction. It's nothing that we, any of us, ever choose. It's just a reaction. So where does it come from? Well, you know, part of it is that biological, you know, like, oh my gosh, somebody's pointing a gun at me, you know, like, uh-oh, you know, bad news. And then there's there's the other fears where we're on the hunt, right? We're on the hunt. We've got a feeling. And by a hunt, I mean, you know, is this person, did they see these jeans make me look fat? You know, is that what they're doing? Is that what they're saying? You know, or are we looking at it as they're making some sort of accusation that we're not good enough, or you know, we're stupid, or you name it, whatever. Those type of things, those involuntary reactions, they root in our childhood. In our childhood is the time that our subconscious gets programmed. Now, you've heard this before. If you're listening to this, you've heard it before, but the new information for you is that your subconscious, another word for it, is your nervous system. Your nervous system is what is holding the signal. The signal that there's a threat and to be on the lookout for it. Now, this programming, it turns out, happens between the ages of birth and about 7 years old or so. And the reason that we know this is that from birth until about 7 years old, your brain is in what's called a theta brainwave state. And the theta brainwave state is where we try to get somebody when we're trying to hypnotize them. They're trying to get you to relax and slow your brainwaves down. Interestingly enough, we're in this state when, from birth to 7 years old. The Jesuit priests, they had a saying, you know, give me a child till the age of seven and I'll show you the man. They understood this. They understood that when you can train somebody in between that critical period when they're in the theta brainwave state, that the person, the actions are predictable. They're predictable because the nervous system has been programmed. And it's really a very simple mechanism. That simple mechanism is that my nervous system creates a feeling. Nervous system creates a feeling. I feel the feeling, and then I will think a thought equal to that feeling. And then what happens? Well, I'm going to act accordingly. Consistent with the feeling and the thought, then I will take action. Now, all of us have found ourselves in all kinds of situations where we're very afraid, and we've taken action, maybe something that we're not very proud of. Maybe we yelled at something, someone. Maybe we accused somebody of something. Maybe we were in a state where we were frozen and somebody did something to us, and that made us feel horrible as well, that we felt like we just couldn't do anything, we couldn't act. So the thing is that if we are interested in having a better life, the relief from fear is absolutely critical. All of us are trying to change our mindset when really what we should be doing is changing our fear set, our feeling set, right? If our feeling set, we don't have unresourceful fear, meaning, that's hot, don't touch it. But we are less reactive to the things that are not resourceful. This will end up creating better finances, better relationships, virtually every aspect of life can be affected. And after this next break, when we come back from this next break, what I'm going to do is tell you about the hidden benefit to you and your relationships of every kind once your fear is gone. And this secret will be with you for the rest of your life. Now, if you're interested in this work, there is an event coming up late September, early October. It's called CognoConscious. And that event is a 5-day event, and we release all of these emotions from your entire lifetime: your shame, your guilt, your grief, your humiliation, your anger, your resentments. By the time you're done with this, you're stepping into a whole new reality. If you're interested, cognomovement.com, that's CognoMovement.com, and click on events. You'll see the CognoConscious to get your ticket. We'll be right back after this message from our sponsors.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
What if your worst dreams aren't your enemy?
Falling, cheating, being chased, naked, drowning, losing teeth. What if I fail? What if something goes wrong?
I'm Teresa Chung, dream expert, best-selling author, and co-host of The Healing Power of Your Dreams. And in my latest title, Extreme Dreaming, I reveal a powerful truth. There are no bad dreams.
They feel so real, but that's so you remember them.
They're messages, signals, transformative gifts guiding you toward clarity.
Click on the Extreme Dreaming discount banner link on UK Health Radio homepage and learn to decode even your darkest dreams.
Extreme Dreaming.
Are you ready to listen?
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
All right, and we're back. And as I had mentioned, the secret of what happens when you're able to release your fears. Well, back to when this episode started, you had heard there's only really two emotions. There's either love or fear, and everything is a derivative of one or the other. Now, the other thing that we didn't mention is that you can only get one. It's either love or fear. and they don't exist in the same place at the same time. So now that you know this, guess what? What happens if you are absent all of these non-resourceful fears? Automatically, love, or some derivative of love, begins to emerge naturally and without trying. This has been known for millennia. There was a famous poet by the name of Rumi, and I just really find this one line very profound. He said, "Seek not to love, but to remove the blocks to it." And that is what we do at CognoConscious. That is what we do when we remove fear. All of the things that you're afraid of, if you simply weren't afraid of them anymore. How you'll be judged, if you're going to have enough money to survive, things about relationships. If you simply weren't afraid anymore of saying the truth to somebody, what would it do? What would that do to the relationships? Well, this enables us to speak the truth to someone. And also, if we weren't afraid, we would not speak the truth spitefully. We would say the truth with love and compassion. And when someone hears the truth with love and compassion, the entire lens changes. I don't know if you've ever found someone who had corrected you. They corrected you. They spoke the truth. But at the same time, you could feel this love and compassion for you as you were being corrected. It's kind of an amazing thing, and a rare soul that can actually pull it off. But when they do, you're like, "Oh God, yeah, you know, they're I shouldn't, I feel bad about that." But at the same time, as you're kind of feeling a little bit bad about it, you're like, they're telling, "Hey man, you're all right. You're all right." And it kind of feels good, and you feel closer to that person that's telling you this information, you know, about that's not okay, you know. So it's really quite an amazing thing. The benefits of being in that state for us is that everything starts to go better. Life seems to just go easier. Synchronicities and coincidences just start happening. And the lows aren't as low anymore. And it's so much easier to be in relationship. It's so much easier to be you. And it's also much easier to begin to see the good in you, to like you, to love you, and to see that in other people. If I wasn't afraid of those people from the other political party, the other side of the street, the other country, whatever it is, the other religion, the other ethnicity, the other socioeconomic part of the scale, whatever it might be, how would my life go? I could walk through and talk just as easily to the wealthy person as the poor person, as the person from this part of the world and that part of the world. The person with this political belief versus that political belief. And I would be willing to actually listen to them and hear their point of view. It's just another perspective. It's just another way of being. And this becomes so easy when we're not afraid. Back to media. The media is definitely wants you to take a side. And they will try to feed once they find that you're interested in a particular point of view, a side, if you will. They're going to feed that the algorithms will feed you more of that so that you become more embedded in that one perspective. There is a major step up for people when they continually let go of their fear. Their creativity begins to emerge, and they're able to create lots of solutions they never had thought about before. They have a lot more energy to work. Every single understanding, it's also called a level of consciousness. Every certain single level is like a mirror, if you will. The very first thing about it is I think that I am seeing the truth. It's an absolute truth. And by a mirror, one aspect of it is I feel fear, and then I look out and I will see things to be afraid of, threats of all kinds. And those threats could be threats to my physical safety, threats to me feeling safe emotionally, you name it. When I release those, a new reality emerges, and you pop upwards in understanding, and those fears are no longer real. All of us have been in the situations where we see someone who's very afraid of something, whatever it might be, and for us it's like, oh no, you just walk this way. I remember long ago, I went to an event, and it was basically a how to walk on fire. And they had this when it started. It was, I would say, about a story and a half of firewood. There was this firewood as you're walking in, and it was in a line, probably, I would say, about 20 yards long, and they had set it on fire. And so this major blaze that was happening. So this major blaze was there, and you know, an hour or two later, we came out, and that mountain of fire was all down at it as a like red, white, hot coals. And I mean, it was, you know, thick, and these coals, and it was hot. The exercise was not to fear. And you start on one end, and if you can maintain not being in any fear of any kind, you can literally walk across this 20 yards of red hot coals with your bare feet and not be burned. And so my point of telling this story is that not only when we are in a state of congruence and not in fear, that the physical laws of the universe seem to bend, strangely enough. And not only that, but there are other things that simply fall away, like my friend that I had talked about earlier that is now on a cruise ship in Greece, enjoying himself immensely. So, fear is a major thing for all of us, and it has so many benefits of releasing. Now, because fear, there's so many derivatives of fear, anger, resentment, you name it. We have an event that's coming up in October. It's late September, early October of this year, 2026. It's called CognoConscious. And at CognoConscious, we go through all of these different understandings, the shame of our lifetime, and we use Cogno movement to resolve this so that you don't feel it anymore. Guilt, grief, fear, anger, resentment, blame, distrust, resentments, all of these lower level feelings that simply don't feel good. If it doesn't feel good, then that is what we're removing, that lifetime of that at this event over a 5-day period in Mount Shasta. And what we do is we keep working up where we eliminate all of these feelings until the point where this feeling of love will automatically show itself. You don't have to, again, seek not to love, but to remove the blocks to it. So that's the event that's coming up. And if you'd like to get a ticket, go to Cogno Movement. That's CogNove. That's Cogno Movement. CogNovement.com and click on events. You'll see the CognoConscious event. You can get your ticket there, and I'll be there along with Liz Larson. We would love to see you there and work with you to release all of these fears. See you there.